I think I should just say, amen, and you're dismissed. Thanks, Carlos. That's very encouraging. This focuses on the Word of God and what He says to us, and it's all there. You know, it's all there. That's the interesting thing. It is all there. You just have to read it, and if one doesn't read it, you know, it's just makes everything else more difficult and hard to understand. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. And thank you that we can look into your word and, Lord, and just see things we never saw before. Just look into it and just our eyes are opened up to your majesty. And we thank you for that. And, Lord, we thank you that we can stand here and be here knowing that our sins are forgiven and that they are nailed to the cross and that we have freedom in you. And so we just thank you for that, God. And so I just pray that this morning you'd continue to open up the word to us. I pray you would just anoint me that I just speak words of the Spirit and each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we just thank you and ask you to move among us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're cranking down here on Hebrews, you know, that has 13 chapters, and we're going to look at Hebrews 13, verse 8. 13, verse 8. And so this is, it says this, Hebrews 13, verse, chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Now, you know, I just shared with Carlos, I just say, you know, share what's on your heart. Well, I mean, in summary, you know, that's what, you know, Carlos was sharing in his heart. Wait a minute, it's all, the whole thing, the whole Bible, it's Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, it's like 2,000 years ago, you know, like, well, Jesus appeared. No, he'd been around a lot longer, a lot longer than 2,000 years ago, okay? And so you see how all this comes together. And truly, after we have this, looked at this, and we can say now 13 chapters of Hebrews are presenting, you know, basically the message of Christ, the story of Christ. Now the verse he communicates, now the verse God communicates after all this information, we had lots of information, we come up with this. And it is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's it. That's where we come up. Okay, 13 chapters to get there, but that's what it is. That's what it is. There's an understanding here. Now, this, when you look at this verse, this particular verse, and again, it's important where the verse is. It's in the last chapter. It's not in the first chapter. It's in the last chapter, okay? And so what we have here in this last chapter is this verse is telling us that it is the summation. This verse is the summation of the book of Hebrews. He says, okay, I'm telling you what the, okay, this is the summation, the book of Hebrews. It also is the summation of the entire Bible. Right here, it's the entire, but this is the summation. Well, you know, if you hear people talk, well, what about Christianity? What do you believe? And what do you do about this? And what about this? And da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, it's like, okay. God goes, now, I spent 13 chapters, and here's the summation. It's Jesus Christ, okay? We shouldn't be trying to answer anybody else's questions, okay, without just saying, it's all about Jesus Christ. And it's all about what Jesus Christ did with me. That's what you say, not what Jesus Christ did. No, this is what he did with me. So there you start. I mean, it really clarifies so much. And so literally, you know, the book of Hebrews could have been one verse. Just one verse. This is the verse for the book of Hebrews. Forget the 13 chapters. It's Hebrews 13, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, beginning, end of the Bible. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Period. Now let's just go on. I mean, that's what it is. Well, I want to understand. Okay, then read chapters 1 through 13. But this is what it is. It's right here. This is the total thing, all right? So what we see here is we've come up here, and what this is saying, that Christ is eternal, who has eternally existed. Process that. Jesus is eternal. That's recent. Well, Jesus was born 2,000. Well, he manifests himself 2,000. But no, he's eternally existed. Book of Hebrews clearly shows that. Christ is eternal, who has eternally existed. The NIV really identifies Jesus so clearly. The NIV does the translation very interesting in Revelations 13:8. And it says this about Jesus. It says, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Well, I know about Jesus. He was crucified 2,000 years ago. No, you don't know Jesus, because it's eternally, he was eternally crucified before the creation of the world. His crucifixion was in God's mind eternity past. It didn't just happen, you know, and God didn't finally come out, you know, this is a big mess. I don't know what to do. We're just going to have to send Jesus because I don't know what to do. No, it was eternally past. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And he knew he was going to do it for us, you know. So that's what we see here. Jesus, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. He has always been the same and will always be the same. Jesus is not a new thing. He predates the world. Jesus predates the world. So, okay, so it's not a new thing. Now, I have to say this, okay, go ahead. This is really important to know that Jesus predates the world. He's eternal, eternally past, eternally future. Jesus eternal, okay? To our Mormon friends, Jesus has eternally existed in what was not created. I mean, you can talk to your Mormon friends and you can really have a good Christian discussion and just kind of keep it going. Everybody's happy, that, like that. They don't believe this. They do not believe Jesus eternally existed. They believe Jesus was created. I won't tell you about my personal interactions with these. So, I mean, we should, all you mothers and fathers and stuff, you should just want them to marry a Mormon kid. I mean, they're the nicest kids I've ever seen in my life. Just sweet, you know? And I love our kids to death, but the Mormon kids are really sweeter than my kids. I mean, they just are. But that doesn't mean they're going to heaven. That doesn't mean the doctrine's right, okay? So, the point of it is, you know, so, well, that's why are you saying that? Because you clearly understand that Hebrews 13, in the 13 chapters of Hebrews, you understand that Jesus is eternal. And you have to walk away with Jesus is eternal. And therefore, when you say everything is about Jesus, it's he is eternal. That's where the conversation starts. You see? All right? Who cares about the rest of it? No sense talking about it. The conversation starts. Jesus is eternal. But, whatever, no sense talking to you. What I have one thing to say, Jesus Christ, eternal. He's eternal. Y'all with me? See? And so so that's all it's saying. And what Hebrews, like the first 13, Hebrews, the 13 chapters, is to Christians. It's to Christians. To help clarify for us so we can understand. Because, well, God, I want to know this. He says, okay, let me tell you because you believe Jesus is eternal, you put your faith in him. Okay, I will explain him to you. You see? Love it. Love it. Now, so we know Jesus is eternal, was not created. Christ can never be added to or superseded. You see how Christ eternal focuses all our discussion? You can't add to him. It's Jesus plus. No, there's no plus to Jesus. It's Jesus alone. Well, it's Jesus and. No, there's no and to Jesus. It's Jesus. It's just that. That's what you have. You have Jesus, and that's what. And I've spent, the Bible says, I've spent 13 chapters explaining to you, all you need is Jesus. Okay. All you need is Jesus. See, if Carlos just said that, he wouldn't have even needed a timer. He just, hey, Jesus is eternal. All right, done. Okay, so here we got. But what we have here, we see also that Jesus continues his work today by interceding for us as he sits at the right hand of God, which is clearly stated in Hebrews 7:25. Okay, now that's a piece with the eternal Jesus. We have this picture. He's the same, seated at the right hand of God, which it says, we understand. But did you know he's interceding for you? He's interceding. So he's still doing his work. He's still doing, he just began his work. No, he's always done that work. He's always been doing that work. See, but we see it now. He's at the right hand, and he's interceding. He's interceding. You know, quote Carlos again. He said, "I sin. Okay, it's on the cross. I go on. Why can you do that? Of course, he died for our sins. We're forgiven, but you sin." Jesus interceding goes, "I got that. Go on. I paid for that. Go on." See, the relationship with Christ is everything. He's interceding. We give it to him, he takes it. And we continue with him, and he works through us. You know, it's overwhelming what it says here. The whole purpose of the Bible is to present the unfolding revelation of Jesus and the unfolding revelation of the redemption of man. The Bible is about Jesus. Period. If there wasn't Jesus, we wouldn't need a Bible. I'm telling you. We need a Bible. We have the Bible because God is explaining Jesus to us. That's the only purpose of it. Only purpose. And so it's his story. You hear people, well, the Bible is great literature. Well, I suppose God's good at literature, you know, but that's not why we have it. The Bible is incredibly accurate historically. Well, yeah, you know, he recorded, but that's not why we have it. We have the Bible to tell us about Jesus. So if you look for something besides Jesus, you're always are confused. You know, someone, I said, you always look for Jesus. And somebody said, it was a good statement. He said, but all these historical books, it's just on and on about the history, and you see miracles in it, but I'm trying to find Jesus. But it's just this all this history. Why? Well, ask you a question. What people did Jesus come from? Jewish? What nation did he come from? Israel. How do we know that? How do we know that? Because the Bible told us. And we see Adam, when Adam was created, not only was Jesus' crucifixion on his mind, when Adam was created, Israel was on his mind. Why? Because that's the line Jesus came through. And so when we have the New Testament and says, this is Jesus, and we know it's Jesus because he came through Israel. He came from Adam, David, to the prophet? I mean, the lineage, the tribe of Judah? And now we have him. We have him. And he's the king of the Jews. You see what I'm saying? So we have a history. We understand. The history is given to us so that we can see the line which Jesus came. He didn't just come here and say, hey, folks, I'm here and I'm Jesus. No, he came through this line that was told, and it culminated in the person of Jesus with a whole history behind him that even goes to Adam in one place and to the patriarchs in another place. See? That's how we know, historically, it was Jesus. Amen? See? And so, the bottom point line is, Wallace, you didn't have to say all that. No, I didn't. All I had to say was, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's all I had to say. But I have so much fun explaining it. I want to tell you about the whole history, you know, and you say, stop. All right. The Bible is a story about Jesus. We have the Bible so we can understand the background about Jesus. That's it. That's the reason. Now, so when we look at this, and two, when we have Jesus, why Jesus came was to redeem man. So it wasn't just, hey, Jesus, rah, rah, you know, he gets a trophy. No. We understand he came to redeem man. So when God created worlds, before he created worlds, he had the cross on his mind so he could create, so he could save mankind. It was all in the beginning. It's all in the beginning. And he tracked it down to where we are today. And so it's like, it really is amazing. The Bible, Jesus Christ and the redemption of man. The only purpose is to exist. Now, when we look at this, this is the greatest truth of all eternity. It is. It's the greatest truth. There's no truth greater. Because without this truth, there's nothing. There's nothing without this truth. So it's the greatest truth of all eternity, and it is our only passion. It's our primary passion. Why? Because it's everything to us. Our forgiveness, our eternal life, everything. It's our passion. Now, other things flow out of it, but that's our passion. Now, since it is our passion, and it is the greatest eternal truth we could ever know, you read the apostles, the apostles really had a hard time when people denied the truth. Not so much when they denied the truth. The apostles really had a hard time when people said, there's another truth. We've heard that. Let you hear my truth. The apostles, not having it. So it is so important, it's so important that the apostles were unwavering, no flexibility whatsoever. They were unwavering, and they didn't take a word away from it. Just listen closely to their attitude, to the truth of this attitude. I didn't put overhead on it, but in Galatians chapter 1, 8 through 9, great verse to look at. Now, the truth, you want the truth. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. What about all the other religions? Have you hear that? Apostle Paul, what about all the other religions? Listen to Galatians. But even if we, the Apostle Paul is talking about himself. If I come in, I'm off bake and I tell you something else. Okay. But even if we are an angel from heaven. We got some religions started, angels from heaven carrying a message, okay? Again, it's just the truth. Their brothers, Mormons, they got a lot of messages from angels. Christian-sounding messages, okay. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. Well, God loves everybody no matter what they believe. And I mean, that's a good thing, nice thing to make up. Try to make everybody feel well, you know. But if we preach anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, anything other, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. And that word, God curse, is anathema. It means an eternal curse, literally. It's like, no, we're not playing around with Jesus Christ. We don't worry about every argument in the world, but no, Jesus is eternal. You don't add, you don't take away. Jesus is eternal. Eternal. The apostles didn't have any tolerance for any human or heavenly being who proclaimed a different gospel than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, which God had in His mind before He created in the world. The Bible rejects anything that adds or subtracts from this biblical truth. Paul says to anyone who preaches a false gospel, let them be under God's curse. With God, there is not any truth. Your truth, like, there's not any, with God, there's not any your truth. There's not any my truth. There's nothing like that. With God, there's only one truth. It's God's truth. And somebody got their own truth, it doesn't bode well for them. Doesn't bode well for them. There's only one truth. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He was slain before the foundations of the earth. Nothing has changed for all eternity. For all eternity, it was in God's minds. Okay? So it's like, whoa! We're all about Jesus, okay? Therefore, the next verse, it's fascinating what the next verse says, all right? Therefore, verse 9 says this. Therefore, Hebrews 13:9. Therefore, do not be led away. Now, you can see the flow, what he's saying here. It's all about Jesus. Therefore, don't be led away from what? From Jesus. Here, from Jesus. I like to go to XYZ church. Well, whatever. But don't be led away from Jesus. See, what is the qualification you want for XYZ church? That they preach Jesus. That's a qualification. See, don't be led away from that qualification. You know. So, 13:9. Do not be led away by diverse, notice that word, by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Of all the things, how interesting put that. Don't be led away by foods. Don't think foods make you holy. He said, what are you doing? It's talking about diverse and strange teachings. Now what's here is, again, verse 8, God's eternal. The Bible's about it. Jesus. Jesus is eternal. Verse 8 says Jesus is eternal. Then he says, but don't be led away by diverse and strange teachings. The word diverse literally means, I just think this is fascinating. The word diverse literally means many colored. Different colors. Many colors. Don't be led away by many colors. We are warned against being carried away by enticing, many-colored, strange teachings. Now, if that doesn't put everything in one big bucket, they come, hey, I got a many-colored, strange teaching. Come on, it's going to look good, you know? And he said, don't go that way. We got Jesus. We don't go after shiny objects. We got Jesus, okay? And so, people will offer many alluring ways to approach God. We are warned not to run after their shiny objects. We are strengthened by grace and by grace alone. See, grace. What's grace? Receive Christ by the grace of God, the favor of God, the power of God, and the grace of God within us, Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us, then we move forward with the eternal word of Christ. Amen? And it's saying, don't be led away by these diverse, many-colored, strange teachings. Now, what it also says, we are not bound by physical restrictions like ceremonial foods. Now, probably here, you know, it's maybe not, well, I don't know for sure, it's not such a big thing about ceremonial foods, but there was a lot of ancient religions and even cults, you know, and so the your evidence of holiness was based on what you eat. You know, some foods holy, some foods not holy, and so your status of whether you're holy or not is what you eat. You know, and so he goes, we'll just cut to the base. I'm not going to cover every physical restriction in the world. But what he's saying, you know, you're not bound by physical restrictions. This is what he's saying. You are not bound like physical restrictions. Just like ceremonial foods. That's not the Christian life. That's not the Christian life. What happens with a Christian is not outward, it's inward. It's inward. See, now listen closely to this. Let no one be disqualified by what they eat. The Old Testament examples served primarily to give us a picture to help us understand the spiritual realities. It's the physical pictures. You know, all the foods that were sacrificed, all the foods that were eaten, all the foods that were given in the Old Testament are physical pictures. See, and what happened, and when Jesus came, he took the place of all that. Like, you sacrifice a lamb, he got sacrificed as the Lamb of God. We don't need to sacrifice any more lambs. Right? Done. Okay. And we don't have to eat foods to be clean or to be better and to show that we're closer to God. In fact, and so we are understanding the Old Testament has given us physical examples to understand spiritual realities. Listen closely to what Colossians 2:16 says. I have an overhead for this. Listen closely. God said, pay attention. This is why we read the Bible. Pay attention. Therefore, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, therefore let no one pass judgment on you in the questions of food and drink. Don't be telling me what to eat and drink. He said, don't let them disqualify you. Okay, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or included in, or with festival and new moon, or with regard to festival, or new moon, or a Sabbath. Now, what he's saying there, here you have to eat these things, but there's also all of these feasts you have to do. There's all of these things you have to sacrifice, and you have to keep the Sabbath. Now, you hear that, Christians. You got to keep the Sabbath. By the way, which is Saturday. Okay, I mean, just throw that out there, you know. But what he's saying here, therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or the Sabbath. Listen, drum roll. Rich's drum, we should have him up there. If you didn't have any music, we should have Rich's drum roll. Right now, drum roll. Verse 17. These, all this stuff, these are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Done deal. I'm telling you, done. It's over. Done. Do what you want to. It's a done deal. Done deal. And even in Hebrews, there's, it says it several places, but there's one specifically saying that Jesus says, I am the sacrifice. He said, he's done. He's done. He do away with it. He didn't do away with it. He just became it. The substance. All the way in the Old Testament, all the Jewish festivals, everything they were doing was looking to Christ. And Jesus come, I'm here, I did it. Those sacrifices pointed to me, and I am it, which God knew before the world created. They're over. He completed it. Now he just sits at the right hand, interceding for us. Every time Carlos sins, he goes, I got that. See that? Now, these are a shadow. They're a shadow. Not wrong. They weren't wrong. They're a shadow of things to come. But the substance. What's the substance? What's the Bible? It's a story of Jesus. But the substance belongs to Christ. Revelation, okay? Revelation. Life changing. Christian changing. Revelation. The physical pictures are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. We need to keep this in mind when we read the Old Testament and even some portions of the New Testament. I'll give you a New Testament thing. Okay. And the Bible says, do this. Okay. It's fulfilled, right? But he says, do this. We're left with baptism and communion. All right, because he do this. I'm going to do it because he said this. And you have a piece of bread. And you take a cracker. He says, take it. Take this cracker. What does he say? It's a cracker. He goes, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, I don't know. Sometimes I love the Catholics. I mean, you know, and I know a lot of them just love Jesus. But I didn't know that I didn't even know what this was. Is it substantiation? Is that it? Substantiation? I think it is. And what you do, you take a cracker and you take it and it actually changes to the body of Christ. Substantiation. I said, no, it's cracker. I don't care what you call it. That's a cracker. You know, but what they did, Jesus said, this is my body. Instead of understanding that the physical was a shadow of the reality, they had to make the physical the actual body. They had to make it the actual body because they didn't understand that Jesus was a shadow. You see? Well, no. It was a picture, and he meant it to be a picture. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's a logical thing when you read through it. The scripture clarifies it. This verse tells us about it. The substance belongs to Jesus. We take that cracker, and that belongs to Jesus, and we're honoring him. We don't believe it actually takes in his body. Man, I'd have a hard time eating it. I don't know. I just got issues with it. But that's what they believe. But you see what I'm saying? It's just a matter of understanding. Do you want to understand? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And so as we look at this, we need to keep this in mind that God is proclaiming these things. And Jesus himself attempted to focus our attention on spiritual realities. While he was here on earth, he tried to get his disciples and the people he taught, he tried to get them to focus on the spiritual realities and off the physical. And therefore he addressed food too. He said, therefore he said that what we eat doesn't make us holy. You know, he's going, brothers, guys, what you eat and make you holy. Okay? But they did believe what they ate made them holy. A whole Jewish belief system, what they ate made a difference, made them holy. So Jesus says, have an overhead here. Jesus said, this is why he's talking to them. You're missing the point. Mark 7:19. Brothers and sisters, food doesn't go into your heart, but into your stomach, and then out the body. That's pretty literal. In saying this, Jesus declared all food's clean. Hey, if you don't want to eat something because of your diet, don't eat it. But it ain't dirty. Not dirty. Eat what you want to eat. Okay, if you have such and such diet, go have at it. But don't, it's not bad. People eat what they want to. Somebody wants to live on hot dogs and pizza the rest of their life, hallelujah. Let them enjoy their life until Jesus decides to take them home. But it ain't dirty, you know, not dirty. And Paul himself confirms this. He confirms it. You can see we're trying to lift you up into the spiritual realities. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Look at 1 Corinthians 8:8. Heaven overhead. 8:8 says the same things. It's like you're missing the point. He says this. Food will not commend us to God. We're no worse off if we do not eat and no better off if we do. Do what you want to do. I don't want to hear about it. You know? Anyway, enough of my tangents. Okay, the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, not food, not physical, is the source of our life with Christ. All God's people said, amen. All right? Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Not what we eat. You know? Not what we eat. And besides, if you tell me I can't eat my pizza, you really damage my love, joy, and spirit personally. At least let me finish my piece of pizza. See, again, but you see what God's trying to do. He's understanding what's happening here. I'm moved in. I changed everything. Jesus changed everything. And it is Jesus. It is Jesus. And so look what Paul says here. And when you put this together, you say, well, it's interesting why there was such an emphasis on this. The emphasis is to make that we can focus on being spiritual beings that love Christ. I mean, that's what he's trying to get us, you know, focused right. Look what he says in Romans 14:17. He says, kingdom of God. You know, I pray this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Okay, oh, thy kingdom come that will on earth. Okay, God's kingdom on earth, him functioning. And, you know, and so I pray that and try to understand that and walk in that. Well, look what it says in Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God, Wallace, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Entered, listening to God, filled with the Spirit, giving everything to him, you're in the kingdom. Eat all the pizza you want. You see? And there's so much. And, of course, the physical there, I'm using pizza. Now, you can add a lot of stuff to it, like pizza, clothes, house, whatever. That we do that we think qualifies us to be more spiritual. He said, that doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. See, that's what he's telling us here. See, it is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now listen to this. I really struggled with the sentence. I added to, took away, and so I think I hit a happy medium. Okay, this is my spiritually sweating out a sentence. And so this is my middle ground on it. Strict religious requirements are evidence of false teaching in the absence of any spiritual strength. Proclaim their restrictions, but they don't have any spiritual power. They're living on their restrictions that they've created, because God didn't create them. So they're human created. Maybe good restrictions. But all they are is evidence of false teaching. Physical restrictions to be holy are evidence of false teaching, and is evidence that they lack any spiritual strength. The truth of our salvation, our power, comes from Jesus only. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We trust in the eternal Jesus. And I put up Revelation 13:8. We can close on that. The Lamb. The Lamb. We put our trust in the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Let's pray. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The freedom, absolute freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done it all. He's done everything. He hasn't put anything on us. He's done it all. And within us, he leads us and he guides us. And he gives us with his power. He leads us with a power that works within us, that has us behave like Jesus. That's the reason you should never worry about behaving like Wallace. Now you want to go for Jesus, right? Dear God, it's all about Jesus. Jesus indwelling in us. Jesus directing us. A love relationship with Jesus. Dear God, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Dear God, let your deep love for us transform us to love you back. Dear God, our eyes are on Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain from the creation of the world. Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, who encompasses all the power and authority of God himself. Jesus, who indwells us and speaks to us and leads us. And the criteria is to love him and to follow him. Love him and to follow him. Lord God, we just give thanks to you. And we just praise your holy name. And Lord, we thank you for the whole entirety of the book of Hebrews, to understand the detail, which puts us in awe. But the bottom line is you died and paid the penalty for our sins in eternity past, eternity future, and today. And we are totally forgiven. We thank you, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I thought we'd have the elders come up and do a quartet. Nobody wants to do that. Actually, they wanted a trio. They wanted to do a trio with me out.